The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Let's have movies now with Brian Lloyd from entertainment.ie. And there certainly is a big publicity campaign, isn't there, for The Fall Guy with Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. What's it all about?
It's based on the TV show, if you recall. I'd say you were of that vintage, were you? Remember Lee Majors?
Oh, yeah.
The Fall Guy, the unknown stuntman, was the theme song and used to drive the truck off the thing.
Vaguely remember it.
Right, so it's basically a very, very loose adaptation of that. Ryan Gosling plays a retired stuntman called Colt Seavers. He was previously in a relationship with Emily Blunt's character, who was this camerawoman and is now working on her first film. He's tempted back into the industry by a producer played by Hannah Waddingham. People would know her from Ted Lasso. But when he arrives on set, he realises that there's a mystery afoot, that the star of the movie, Aaron Taylor-Johnson, has gone missing, and then he has to try solve the case as to where he's gone and also larger kind of implications, I guess.
Let's hear a clip from The Fall Guy where Colt Seavers, played by Ryan Gosling, turns up on a set of a movie directed by his ex-girlfriend Jodie, played by Emily Blunt.
Why are you here?
I think there's been a misunderstanding.
Clearly.
Because I was under the impression that you did want me here.
That's a delusional thought. We haven't spoken in a year.
I'm happy for you. This whole director thing looks good on you. Even the gardening hat, somehow.
Everyone wears them. It's like a set thing. Okay?
Yeah, I see it. They're not making you look as good as you are. So. And I'm not trying to be flat. I'm just saying the facts. But you look good in everything. You look good in nothing, whatever. No, I don't mean
really?
It like that.
This
you do look good enough.
This isn't going to work.
You do, but it's not what I'm...
Okay, what is this? Is this a comedy?
It's a little bit of everything. It's one part romantic comedy. It's one part action movie. I mean, the director of this is a guy called David Leitch, and he previously did, if you recall, Atomic Blonde with Charlize Theron, which was this really stylish Cold War thriller. He was one of the original directors on John Wick, the Keanu Reeves action franchise. And he was a stuntman himself for many, many years. He was a stunt coordinator on all the Matrix movies as well. He runs this production company called 87 North. They've done movies like Nobody, that one with Bob Odenkirk. And
that was
like
a good movie.
That was a good movie, yeah, exactly. And he did all the stunt rigging on that as well. So really what this is I guess it's one part romantic comedy, one part action movie, and then one part, I guess, kind of ode to practical stunts and kind of filmmaking.
And does it work?
It absolutely does. I love this. This was so much fun. And it's a great movie to kick off blockbuster season as well, because we're really into it now. You know, Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt are, you know, old hands at romantic comedies. Ryan Gosling, as you heard there, he's able to do that kind of goofy charm. Emily Blunt, very much kind of channeling Goldie Hawn, Meg Ryan in their heyday. Hannah Waddingham is in there between them as the kind of producer, kind of channeling Robert Evans, if you recall, the old producer, yeah. And Aaron Taylor-Johnson is uncannily very, very good at playing an asshole of an actor. So you have a great cast, you have a great story. And yeah, I really, really enjoyed this. It's a really well-made, well-constructed, very easygoing, enjoyable movie.
Would it be fair to say that Gosling has become one of Hollywood's real superstars?
Oh, he is, yeah.
His ability to turn to all sorts of movies, and he has a real charm about him.
He does,
well,
doesn't he? Like, and that's the thing, like, when you watch him in stuff, like the more sort of esoteric stuff, like, you know, Only God Forgives, which was this film he did with the director of Drive called Nicholas Winding Refn, and didn't do very well, but everyone thought it was going to be a hit. When he does these kind of like charming kind of romantic comedies,
La La Land, obviously.
La La Land as well, yeah. But another one I would go to would be The Nice Guys. He did with the Russell Crowe, if you ever saw that. You ever seen that?
No, and then I'm thinking of other things that he did.
Crazy Stupid Love.
Yeah, he was very good though, and then obviously The Big Short.
Yeah, that's it. His comedy is.
And what was the one with Kerry Mulligan? That was Drive, was it?
That was Drive, yeah.
That was a terrific movie.
It is, yeah. And that's what I'm saying to you. Like, he has a lot of versatility, and that's quite rare nowadays for an actor of his caliber to have the versatility that he has. It is quite rare. But when he turns his hand to romantic comedies like this, he does it very well. He's very studied in it. Even in Barbie, like, I thought he was great. He was one of the best things in it. Like,
and Ferris Emily Blunt, she has a quite considerable range as well, hasn't she?
Yeah.
I mean, she goes from things like the Mary Poppins movie.
Oppenheimer.
You go back, she also has been involved in thrillers as well. She also played the...
A Quiet Place.
Yeah, and what is the other one that is the name escapes me?
Edge of Tomorrow.
See, there's loads of things yeah. they're going to do. She's been in a lot of stuff.
She is, yeah.
She's possibly Britain's most successful Hollywood actress at present.
At present, yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, definitely, yeah. And I mean, again, this is the thing. Both of them have the versatility, but what kind of makes this movie so good is the fact that together they have chemistry. And that's not something that you can learn. That's not something that can be taught. That's just something that just happens. So both of them having this screen presence. And like, again, you know, you look at all the promo for it, you look at all the trailers for it, the posters and everything else, like, it's the two of them front and centre. And yeah, it's very much a kind of an old school blockbuster where the two of them are hoping to open the movie for themselves. I really do recommend this. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, what about Love Lies Bleeding?
Yeah, so this is something completely different. This is Christian Stewart and Katie O'Brien. It's directed by Rose Glass, who did this really interesting folk horror a couple of years ago called Saint Maud. This is very much an erotic thriller in the vein of Paul Verhoeven, who did Showgirls, who did Basic Instinct. Most recently, he did a film called Benedetta. Essentially, what's going on here is it's set in 1989. Christian Stewart plays this gym owner who is running the gym for her violent criminal father, played by Ed Harris. Katie O'Brien is a bodybuilder who drifts into town on her way to Las Vegas. The two of them strike up a very kind of torrid, tumultuous, very sexual relationship, but very quickly starts to fall apart when she begins abusing steroids, and then Ed Harris's criminal past kind of comes back to haunt them.
Okay, let's hear a clip from this where the Ed Harris character, Lou Sr., teaches Jackie, Kathy O'Brien, how to shoot a gun.
It's not what I'm paying you for.
I'm on my break, sir.
Come on. Come on!
If you work here, you should at least know the basics. Line her up. You only have to be very, very gentle. A bit more powerful than a punch, huh? One more time, line it up. That's it. Nice and easy.
Okay, so this is, as you say, very different. This is sort of a not your mainstream type Hollywood movie. Is it all the better for that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for one, it's very much not afraid of going to the extreme in every sense of the word. Like, it's very much, it's 16s, which is rare for IFCO. They don't really give them out anymore. The fact that it's very openly a queer film, that, you know, the two main characters in this are both lesbians. Well, one is a lesbian, the other is bisexual. The sex scenes in it are very much, you know, full on. And the violence as well, I mean, it is very much full on. Like, you are seeing, you know, heads being blown apart, people being punched to death. Later on, when Katie O'Brien's character is abusing steroids, she starts to have these like really sort of nightmarish body horror, kind of David Cronenberg delusions where she's vomiting up stuff and all the rest of it. So it really does go to all those extremes. And yeah, it is the better for it. And also as well, I think, is the fact that like it's so rare nowadays, I think, to see films prepared to go to these extremes, you know, because even looking at something last week, for example, with Challengers, which I really enjoyed, I thought it was brilliant. It was the one with Zendaya and Josh O'Connor and Mike Feiss, and that is another erotic thriller as well. But it felt a little bit tempered, whereas in this, it's very much going right to the edge. Now, I would say that that in itself causes problems because it becomes quite sloppy in places. It definitely does lose the run of itself, not unlike a Paul Verhoeven film. Like, you go back and watch Basic Instinct and Showgirls, and yeah, they're funny, and yeah, they're over the top, and yeah, there is a sort of a raciness about it, but they're also very kind of, you know, very, very, very wacky films in places, and this has it as well. I would say it's not for everyone, but for those who will enjoy it, they'll absolutely love it. I mean, I was at a packed screening of it last week for National Lesbian Visibility Day, and the place was absolutely packed and roaring and loving it. So there you
okay,
go.
Okay, all right. The name of it again?
Love Lies Bleeding.
Okay. In the few minutes we have, I just see there's a story breaking in the United States at the moment that Sony has made a $26 billion offer to buy Paramount.
Oh, they did it.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah.
So Paramount, of course, would have a lot of television and streaming as well as having movies. But it is interesting because Jerry Seinfeld, the comedian, has been saying the movie business is over, no longer the cultural pinnacle. I mean, this is because he is promoting his new Pop-Tarts movie, Unfrosted.
Yeah.
Is this him making excuses?
No, this is him basically just trying to get his name out there as much as possible by saying dumbass comments like that. That's exactly what that is. And I'm surprised you're falling for this, Matt, in fairness, because, like, you know better than anybody. You go out in front of somebody and you start talking anything, you say the most extreme or the most sort of, like, controversial thing, and people like us will start talking about it and shouting him down and say how he's completely wrong. I've seen Unfrosted. Just for context, it's embargoed until tomorrow morning, which means I can't even talk about it. So that kind of tells you everything you need to know about Jerry Seinfeld's directorial debut. To go back to Sony making an offer to buy Paramount, because that's the real story here. That's really interesting. Paramount have been allegedly have been in a lot of financial trouble for the last couple of years. Apparently the launch of Paramount Plus didn't go as well as planned, and Sony meanwhile have been very smart about it. They didn't necessarily get into the streaming wars the way that Paramount and Warner Brothers and Disney did. They held off and were essentially kind of like the arms dealers to the streaming wars. Them offering to buy Paramount is very interesting because, you know, like, consolidation has been a big thing in media for the last, like, 10, 15 years. We saw it with 20th Century Fox being bought out by Disney. And there was talk as well that Warner's apparently was going to try sell off. I think they were going to look to sell off, like, Discovery and CNN and all the rest of it. So Sony offering to buy out Paramount is interesting. I could see it happening, to be totally honest.
But it's backed by venture capital money. Apollo, the giant fund, is coming in, which usually in situations like that means trying to extract as much cash to pay for the, which wouldn't necessarily mean there's going to be an awful lot of investment in new product.
No, it wouldn't be at all. But then again, like, Paramount is one of the oldest studios. It's one of the big four. So in terms of, like, them trying to generate cash for that, I mean, they can sell off the rights to all their films, or they can just start cranking out remakes, which is pretty much what Disney did when they bought 20th Century Fox. That's why you have, the week after next now, you have Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. They had the first omen a couple of weeks back as well. They're basically going through the library now and trying to generate new content off the back of it. Stuff that can be regenerated and made cheaply.
Okay, we got to leave it there. Thank you very much, Brian Lloyd, movies editor of entertainment.ie.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Today FM. It all happens here.